I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
For 25 years, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Ooh, wow, Jake. I'm not sure I've ever witnessed a game like that in my life where the ebbs and flow were just all over the place, where Alabama looked good, then they looked like they had never seen a football before in their life. Jake, I'm almost speechless at this point in time.
Yeah, man, I am too. I had to come in and take some blood pressure medicine because I know my heart rate and my blood pressure is probably sky high. But man, you know, I was on edge the entire game. I was not expecting it to be like that. Just from the previous week, what had happened, you know, Alabama, I know it's Chattanooga, but they come out on all facets and just dominating the entire game. Auburn struggled against New Mexico State and lost, and not just by like 3. I mean, they got convincingly beat by New Mexico State. And then, you know, this one's the Iron Bowl, man. And again, that voodoo, it's ridiculous. So, you know, just a big sigh of relief for sure.
Yeah, I mean, it really is. And welcome in, everybody, to our Instant Reaction Show here on the Bleacher Report mobile app. Thank you so much for joining us. I am Stacey Blackwood. That's Jake Thomas. We are Tide Talk Live on YouTube, so make sure you check us out there. And make sure you let us know your thoughts on today's Iron Bowl matchup there in the chat as well. We do have a couple polls up already. Player of the game, Milroe, Bond, or somebody else. On a scale from 1 to 10, how bad do you hate Jordan-Hare Stadium?
Yeah.
I just want to start there, Jake. When you think it can't get any crazier in that place, and it does. It always surpasses it. I mean, you go all the way back. I don't even want to mention it, the kick six, Jake. But even the game before that, when Auburn played Georgia, they had the prayer, what they call the prayer at Jordan-Hare, where they make a miracle Hail Mary to beat them. You talk about the way that the events unfolded in 2019 with Bo Nix and how a lot just had to go right for Auburn there at the end of the game for them to get the win, and they got it. Then you go back to 2021 when Bryce Young has to lead a 97-yard touchdown drive to tie the game and send it into overtime. And then today, Jake, Alabama gets fortunate. Auburn muffs a punt. We get the ball back. We're driving the ball. We have it second and goal, and we decide to snap it when nobody's ready, lose 15, 20 yards. Then Milroe, for some reason, doesn't just run it and pick up some yardage. He tries to go across the line of scrimmage, come back and throw it, loss of down, 5-yard penalty. And then what's going to go down, honestly, Jake, is one of the biggest throws in Alabama football history. He connects with Isaiah Bond for a touchdown on 4th and goal. Where was the ball at? Like the 25?
It might be the 35. I mean, I can't remember. It was bad.
he throws an absolute dime to the corner, to the pylon. I mean, the play I'm sure is throw it to the pylon and give your guy a chance. And unbelievable. He did. Isaiah Bond made a great, incredible clutch catch. And man, we're going to get into this, Jake, because you got to enjoy the win while we're in this moment, because a win is a win, especially against your arch rival. But Jake, Alabama did everything in this game to lose the game. They could not get out of their own way. It almost looked a lot like the Texas game, Jake, where just penalties or just miscues at the wrong time nearly come back to bottom. And it just takes a miracle, and I'm not afraid to say it, lucky play to win. But, hey, I'll take it.
Yeah, you know, everybody lives off analytics these days. I wonder what the analytic was, you know, of Alabama's chances to win on fourth and goal at their 25 or 35 yard line. You know, Stacy's going to look it up. I guarantee you it's probably like a 0.0001% chance, because, I mean, honestly, I watched the game at just right next door, that's what we was talking about. That's the only play you can make right there is in the corner of that end zone, and it was made, thankfully, you know. And but I guarantee
it was 31 yards, by the way.
31 yards. So, I mean, I bet the analytics on that said Alabama's chances to win that game at that moment was none, pretty much.
Well, and Coach Saban kind of summed it up right. He said, we've had a lot of crazy games in this stadium, and it was nice to have one crazy finish go our way. And
no kidding.
I mean, that is just one of the most unbelievable plays in Alabama football history. It really is. I'm not being hyperbolic, just living in the moment. Considering this, Jake, if they lose that game, it don't matter what they do to Georgia next week. They could beat them 100-0. They're not getting the playoff with two losses.
Nope, they're not.
So with all that was on the line, the in-state rivalry, to come through and make that play is it's unbelievable. It really is. And, you know, I mean, the truth is, Jake, rivalry aside, I got a lot of close friends that are Auburn friends. I got a lot of close friends that are Auburn fans. I got family members that are Auburn fans. I hate it for them. I really do. That's a crappy way to lose, but I mean, it's football. It happens.
Yeah, absolutely, man. You know, like you said, we have family that's Auburn fans. We know some folks who mutual friends who are Auburn fans. You know, I hate it, you know, for them in that aspect, but I'm loving it for us. Again, I think it was already said in the chat, there are things that we'll talk about later that we've got to work on, sure. But maybe this is a confidence boost to the team coming out and having a big moment like that, coming to a week of and get yourself prepared, because, you know, man, that I know them boys, you know, they fought hard all night. Just like you said, that voodoo just seemed like nothing was going our way. We couldn't really get out of our own way, like you said. And honestly, you know, when the quarterback on the Auburn's quarterback only threw Peyton throwing only threw for like 90 yards, I think, and only thrown like maybe six times. But I mean, he was running the ball against us, and they was running the ball effectively, you know. And I really felt like if they was going to have success and have a chance to win this game, they was going to have to run the ball. But the way we have stopped the run this year, I thought we was going to handle that, and we didn't. So we got a lot to work on. So I'm just
– Yeah, no doubt. But I'll say this about their running game. They had a lot of success running the ball in Georgia, too, when they played them. It's just they do a really good job of executing what they do on the ground. And I thought Alabama defensively in the second half was much better against the run, especially against the backs. Now, they did allow Thorne to get a couple plays, against the running backs in the second half, they didn't really do much of anything. Right. So I thought Kevin Steele and those guys did a good job defensively. And when they needed stops there late in the game, the defense came through and got stops. And what's so funny, you talked about how it didn't seem like anything was going Alabama's way. I will put my hand on the Bible and swear this is true. Right before we punted the ball and they muffed it, I looked at my wife and I said, something good is bound to happen to us eventually in this game, because every bounce has went Auburn's way. And sure enough, he muffs the punt and we get it. And the rest is history. And it's just a crazy finish, an unbelievable finish, something that we'll never forget, Jake. And just an unbelievable moment. And Alabama's playoff hopes are still alive. But Jake, As we now dive into to looking at this game, the truth is, Jake, Alabama had a chance to put this game away early, and mental mistakes once again come back to bottom. I mean, you look at Kendrick Law scores a touchdown, Jake, and the dude, I think it's Dupree, gets called for a holding, and it was a hold, but he didn't have to hold the dude. Law was already past him. That dude wasn't going to make the play anyway. So it's just – it's plays like that. You go back to Milrow. We had two touchdowns called back for penalties. Milrow throws it once he's already passed the line of scrimmage to Nyblack for a touchdown. All Milrow's got to do is tuck the ball and run it there, and he at least picks up a first down.
Yeah.
Maybe a touchdown. So, and I know we're being nitpicky, but you get in close games like this when you don't do the little things right. And Alabama did not do the little things right today in this game. And then they had some penalties in inopportune times. And that's what kept Auburn in this football game. And give Auburn credit, they made plays when they had to make them. But I go back to, especially in that first half, Jake, Alabama left so much on the field. Anytime you have two touchdowns called back for penalties, that is huge. And that just gives the other team a lot of confidence, especially a team like Auburn, playing at home, keeping that crowd in the game. And Alabama somehow, miraculously, was able to come away with a win.
Yeah, it's crazy, man. I'm like you. I'm still speechless. But, you know, there are some positives. And one of the positives I want to talk about, and we've talked about it for several weeks now, how the growth of the offensive line has continued. And I know Milrow got sat one time, but I think it was out of the pocket when he was scrambling, and it was a backside guy who got him. But when he's in the pocket, hey, I mean, that pocket has been clear for him the last several weeks, and that is a growth. There was one play especially, I think it was in the second quarter, and I mentioned this, but Caden Proctor, they rushed the guy on the outside. But you always taught as a lineman, block inside first and then go to the outside. He blocked his guy inside, let him go, which allowed that guy to get free. But he went back out and hit this guy out here, which kind of disrupted him. But Jalen was able to get a pass off. So, you know, the offensive line's growing. Caden Proctor has gotten a lot better overall, besides that missed snap. And there was another time where it felt like it got snapped premature, but we was able to make a little bit out of it. But other than that, the offensive line is starting to play within itself and starting to play a lot better now.
Yeah, Steven says, teach Milrow where the line of scrimmage is.
Yeah.
That's such a rare penalty to get, and it happened twice in one game.
Yeah.
But, hey, but somebody help me out with this, and maybe I should know this. Is it illegal to cross the line of scrimmage and then come back and throw it?
I guess so. I wasn't sure.
I'm not sure on that.
Yeah, I'm not either. And the other thing, since we're talking about that, since when is it legal to have three guys in motion and snap the ball when all three guys are in motion still?
Well, you know, if you start with three guys in motioning, it's fine. But when you have one guy already moving,
yeah,
and then you send two guys in motion, that's illegal motion.
It is. Yeah. But it didn't get called, and it was on fourth down too, and it gave them a first down. I mean, yeah, I was so weird.
That's what I was talking about. There was so much crazy stuff going on in that game. And like I said, I looked at my wife and said, something's eventually going to have to go our way. And then they muffed the punt. And it's unbelievable. What a way to end the regular season with that win. And for those who don't realize, Terrion Arnold was ruled out at the 3-yard line. So he did not get that last pick six to end the game. That would have been kind of some nice icing on the kick, even though I'm pretty sure it was a safety the play before anyway. But
yeah,
looking at the receiver stats, looking at the receiver stats there, Jake, since you got those pulled up, the way that Burton and Bond stepped up, Jake, in this game, huge. And by the way, Burton got robbed of a first down catch as well.
There
was clearly about a 2-inch patch of grass in between his toes in the sideline, and somehow they missed that play. So it's just one of those days where Alabama just had to keep not only battling, and I'm not blaming the officials because they were bad all the way around. I mean, they were just crap.
They're always bad, yeah.
But and by the way, this was the same crew that called the Tennessee game in Knoxville last year, so nobody should be surprised at how awful they are.
Yeah, and, you know, I was sitting there on Burton's first down catch or third down catch where they took it away from him. But, you know, I saw the patch of grass, you know, and I'm about 10 feet away from the TV watching the game. And I don't have all the computers and all the fancy things where I can blow an image up like they do at the SEC headquarters in Birmingham to get closer to that image. It's like, ah, we don't see nothing. It's not what's going to, you know, stand is called. I'm like, really? I saw the patch of grass. How can you not see it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
it's crazy.
You know, and look, you're not always going to play your best. And Alabama definitely did not play their best, but they still squeak out a win on the road against their rival. And Jake, I keep going back to Alabama just could not get out of their own way. I mean, Kendrick Law, Jalen Milroe makes a nice run there in the third quarter, I believe, to set us up. It's going to be what, first and goal inside the 5 yard line. Kendrick Law gets an illegal blindside block. So it's just little things like that just killed momentum for Alabama throughout the game. Will Reichard misses a kick, which is not like him. He's only missed three all season long. So he's tied for the record, by the way. He's got one more point to go, and he will be the NCAA's all-time leading points leader. So that's huge as well.
Dominic, he just said it was even weird that the ref that was further away said it wasn't a catch. Yeah, the one who was closest to the play caught it.
As it come down, he ran up and said catch. Yeah, and the guy that's 40 yards down the field, no, he didn't catch it.
Yeah, I'm like, how can you see it? You know, I said this before I left we had our Thanksgiving up next door with some family and friends and stuff. And before I left coming out here to the postgame show, I said, I feel like Alabama's going to play a much better game next week, because it's just something, like we talked about earlier, again, the show says, it's just that juju down there. It's just something about playing at Jordan-Hare that, and it's not just Alabama that it affects everybody. Because remember, I mean, Georgia had to score a touchdown. It was well into the fourth quarter before they took over the lead when they played them, you know, this year. So, and they only won by seven. So, I mean, the number one team in the country escapes Jordan-Hare with a 7-point win. I mean, there's some juju down there, and I don't know what it is. They just come to play at their house, and I really blame Alabama. Like we have mentioned, you kept that crowd going well into the fourth quarter in order to seal a win down there convincingly. You got to take that crowd out of it, but we let them in there and the entire game, and it really affected us.
Yeah. I don't want to take anything away from Auburn today, because they played really well.
They did.
And they executed what they wanted to do really well. But, Jake, Alabama kept them in that game with their miscues. I mean, two touchdowns called back, another opportunity where they're going to have first and goal inside the five gets called back for a block in the back. Just little things like that, Jake. It keeps Auburn in the game when Alabama has a chance to kind of put the nail in the coffin. And they just can't do it because they can't get out of their own way. Another situation where Alabama couldn't, and it didn't hurt them, but Amari Nyblak, it's third and four. He catches the ball. All he's got to do is fall forward, and he gets the first down. And he's out there trying to juke like he's Jalen Waddle.
I know.
I mean, you need that much further to go. Just fall down and get the first down. It just seems like in certain situations, Jake, this team just loses its mind. And you can't do that against Georgia. You do that against Georgia, they'll beat you. So next week, Alabama better be ready to play and ready to be able to execute their game plan, not do anything foolish, not do anything crazy, just play the next play and execute what's in front of you. And if Alabama does that, Jake, they'll be in that game with Georgia, and they could even beat the Bulldogs.
Yeah, I agree, Stacey. You know, going to the stats here, you know, offensively, or the rushing attack, I really was fine with. They had some good showing. McClellan, I felt like he was running hard early. Then Roydell come in, lowering his head, getting a couple pops in, you know. So the rushing attack with Milroe, of course, showing out. I was fine with the rushing attack. I feel like it's getting stronger each and every week.
Well, the offensive line to me is playing so much better. And the only time Auburn really was able to stop the run is if they were blitzing their safeties with 8 and 9 guys in the box. When it was an even box, Auburn could not stop the run. But late in that game, you saw Auburn really crowding the box and blitzing those safeties to help get an extra body down there around the line of scrimmage. And I thought overall Alabama kind of had their way offensively. They just could not finish drives because they just couldn't get out of their own way. I mean, it's just as simple as that.
Yeah, absolutely. And how about Lawson? You know, he was hurt. He come in and, you know, they kind of did have their way running the ball on us. But like you said, it kind of got better in the second half. I think a big part of that was Lawson being back there to do the calls and stuff. I'm glad he's back and healthy. You can tell the team's a lot better with him on the field for sure.
Yeah, no doubt. And you know, you look at the defensive stats. I thought that Dallas Turner played really well today. I thought Justin Aboibi played really well. You know, those two guys. I thought Malachi Moore had a little bit of an off night. He got caught looking in certain areas. Jalen Key had a little bit of a rough night as well. But what I liked about the defense, Jake, is regardless of what happened the first 50 minutes of the game, late in the fourth quarter, Jake, when they needed to get stops, they got them. And then, you know, the offense was able to score there at the end. And then they come up huge. I know it was going to be a long shot for Auburn to even get in field goal range at the end, Jake. But, man, our pass rush was just on fire those final two plays of the game.
Yeah, they were. You have guys that's, you know, they probably was only blitzing maybe three or four at the time, but they was getting after it. So,
yeah. You know. And I want to go back to this because somebody mentioned the whole reason that they made the play was because of protection from the offensive line. I'm going to go back and I'm going to say this, and I'll say this till I'm red in the face. But I don't care what situation, no situation in football ever calls for just a three-man rush.
Right. Yep.
I'm sorry. There's no reason. If you can't cover with seven guys, then there's something wrong. And Auburn, on that last play, thankfully, rushed three, gave Jalen Milroe 67 minutes back there to see where he's going to throw it, allowed Isaiah Bond to basically come across the field in the end zone. And for some reason, I also noticed, why was that corner playing him man-to-man? Did you notice that?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Like, it looked like everybody else was basically in some sort of zone or in some kind of area, you know. But four was following 17, and it kind of worked out perfect.
It did. Yep. So, that was something else I noticed as well. That last play for them, they were – on that play particularly, they were in zone coverage, but that one guy.
That was very strange. It was very strange. The whole thing is strange because it's not every day you convert a fourth and goal from the 31-yard line to win a game.
I mean, yeah. And around that same time, you know, Gary Danielson, we all love Gary, and thank God he's gone after next week. But he said, well, maybe Alabama can kick a field goal here. We got 40 seconds left on the clock with two timeouts.
If we had three timeouts, then that is something worth considering. But when you only have two, the game's over.
What? So, anyway, that's just another funny bit from Gary Danielson, you know.
He overthinks everything.
Yeah, he does. But
y'all keep the interaction coming in the live chat. Jay Freshwater says, Lane Kiffin, glad he didn't take the job. I'll be honest with you. I think Auburn's going to be fine under Hugh Freeze. I really do. I know that's not going to be a popular opinion among Bama fans, but Hugh Freeze is a good football coach.
Yeah, I mean, he's been in Alabama twice, and when he was at Ole Miss, I mean, they had good teams there. They didn't really have anything other than Alabama's win against them that mattered, because Alabama ended up those 2 years, you know, still playing for the SEC championship, you know, and so they have he's a good coach. He's going to do good for Auburn. I just, you know, I think Lane would have overthink a lot of things if he was at Auburn right now, because I love Lane to death, but he does a lot of overthinking in big games like this.
Yeah, I agree. Well, and here's the thing though, Hugh's kind of in a bad spot. I mean, the SEC is expanding. Now, not only do you have to – his two biggest rivals are the two powerhouses of college football in Alabama and Georgia. You got LSU down the road. You got Texas and Oklahoma coming to the SEC as well. So, it's just it's rough right now for Auburn. It's going to be hard for them to be a consistently good, you know, 9-win football team. So, their fans are going to have to be patient, because if they're expecting to go 10-2 every year or better, then, you know, they're just setting themselves up for failure.
Yep. They are.
But Alabama, Jake, they get the win, 27-24, unbelievable fashion. I'm still trying to process it, if you can't tell. You look there at the total yards, Auburn only had 337 yards. That's pretty good defense. I mean, you hold a team under 350 yards, that's pretty good. Alabama, 259 yards passing, Auburn just 93. Alabama, a real balanced attack, basically 200 yards rushing and 250 yards passing. You'll take that every day of the week. But you see those 8 penalties that really hurt Alabama. But mm-hmm. Auburn's 3 turnovers, Jake. 3 turnovers.
Mm-hmm. And although
the one at the end, don't really count. Just two turnovers.
Yeah.
But
and that right there is the biggest thing for me. 1 sack on the day. And like I said, that was when Milroe was scrambling out of the pocket and had somebody behind him, you know, when mm-hmm. he was trying to make a play. Other than that, the offensive line has been solid, man. I'm so glad to see it because a lot of people have been talking about the offensive line all year. And me and you both have said, you know, give them time. They usually get better under Saban as the year goes on. And look at them now.
Yep. Yeah, Ben Ross says drive killer showed up today. Yeah, we've been talking mm-hmm. about that a lot in this in this show. It's just it was one of those days where Alabama could not get out of their own way and then somehow miraculously made the play at the end that mattered to win the game 27-24. And Jake, Peyton Thorne, 5 of 16, 91 yards, 2 interceptions. Man, whew, that's a rough game. But you see there that Hunter played good. Austin played good. Thorne had a couple nice runs, but only 3.8 yards a carry. So you can kind of live with that. Of course, some of those yards are taken off by sacks, but unbelievable, Jake.
I know. I'm still going to process it for a day because, you know, I'm going to have to go back and watch this game, you know, probably tomorrow or sometime this week. That way, I won't be on as edge, you know. And try to see some things and see, you know, some things I may have missed during the game. But, you know, great win. I hope it's a great confidence booster for the week because, you know, we got the Georgia Bulldogs next week and we got to get prepared for them.
Yeah, and you got to play good against those guys if you want to beat them. So playing like they did today will not get the job done. So hopefully they'll show up and execute things a little better. I'm sure it'll be a little easier to execute at a neutral site instead of in the Indian burial graveyard or whatever it is down there at Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Yeah, and going back to our polls, you know, play of the game of 7 for Milroe, 4 for Isaiah Bond, and then you're the Jordan-Hare Stadium hate. Of course, 10 is the only correct answer, of course. I agree, Stacey. I think we're going to play a lot better next week because, again, it's just that juju down there that not only affects Alabama, it affects all teams that they go down there, unless you're Mexico State, apparently. They just don't care about juju, apparently. So I think we're going to be okay. We've got some things to clean up. It's a good teaching moment for practice, and we'll see how it goes next week. It's going to be a great game, man.
No doubt about it. All right, Alabama finishes the regular season 11-1, 8-0 in the SEC, and now they have a date with the Georgia Bulldogs in the SEC championship game and a chance to be SEC champs one more time and take down the reigning 2-time defending national champs. So it's going to be a lot of fun to look at that throughout the week. Make sure you join us at Tide Talk Live as we do that. Thanks so much to Bleacher Report for having us on here each and every week, and we'll be back again next week for the SEC championship game as well. So, guys, thank you so much for watching. Make sure you tune in next week. But until then, roll tide.
Roll tide.
I won't let my active psoriatic arthritis joint symptoms define me.
Emerge as you. Tremfya guselkumab is proven to significantly reduce joint pain, stiffness, and swelling in adults with active psoriatic arthritis. Some patients even reported less fatigue as assessed by survey 1 week prior. Results may vary. Tremfya is taken by injection 6 times a year after 2 starter doses at week 0 and 4.
Serious allergic reactions may occur. Tremfya may increase your risk of infections and lower your ability to fight them. Before treatment, your doctor should check you for infections and tuberculosis. Tell your doctor if you have an infection or symptoms of infection, including fever, sweats, chills, muscle aches, or cough. Tell your doctor if you had a vaccine or plan to.
Emerge as you. Learn more about Tremfya, including important safety information, at Tremfya.com or call 1-877-578-3527. See our ad in Food & Wine magazine. For patients prescribed Tremfya, cost support may be available.
At Amica Insurance, we know it's more than a life policy. It's about the promise and the responsibility that comes with being a new parent. Being there day and night. And building a plan for tomorrow, today. For the ones you'll always look out for, trust Amica Life Insurance. Amica. Empathy is our best policy.
For 25 years, nothing has tasted better after a hard day's work than a Mike's Hard Lemonade. It's because since day one, Mike's has been making lemonade the hard way. We use three kinds of lemons, all hand-picked from family farms, then blended to perfection in cold press to create the epic hard lemonade you know and love. Mike's Hard Lemonade. Hard days deserve a hard lemonade. Mike's is hard. So is prison. Don't drive drunk. Premium all beverage with flavors. All registered trademarks used under license by Mike's Hard Lemonade Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Hey, parents. Greenlight is here to take one big thing off your to-do list, teaching your kids about money. With a Greenlight debit card and money app of their own, kids and teens learn to earn, save, and invest. You can send money instantly, set flexible controls, and get real-time notifications of your kids' money activity. Set up chores and put allowance on autopilot to reward them for their hard work. Then learn about the world of money together. Get 1 month free when you sign up at greenlight.com/podcast.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories. But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.